If you've got God's Word with you, then I'll invite you to turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel in chapter 9. Luke's Gospel in chapter 9, and we're reading from verse 57 down to verse 62. This is our third in this three-part series of the essentials of discipleship. In other words, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, these elements, these three essentials, it's essential that they're present in your life. And if they are not present in your life, then you're in big diffs. And so we look to the third one this evening, the third essential, and we're reading together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we're reading verses 57 to verse 62. And here's what it said: "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus saith unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Amen, and we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, you know what we've been saying over these last 3 weeks? Well, this is the third week, about the essentials of discipleship. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, not decisions. Decisions are relatively easy to come across. It's quite something else to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. Through thick and thin, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to count the cost. I'm going to man up to the mark. And I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that Jesus is not looking for the talk, but he's looking for the walk. He's not looking for the look-alike, he's looking for the live-alike. It's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to dress up like it, and it is quite something else to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. You remember the first essential is that of acceptability. I'm willing to accept whatever comes my way for the sake of following Jesus Christ. Acceptability. And to be able to accept the treatment of this world, we need to have humble hearts, don't we? The world doesn't count us as first-rate citizens. In fact, the world doesn't count us as meaningful or have any importance whatsoever. And we will be debased. But then wasn't he debased? He came from the ivory palaces of heaven, came to the sin-cursed earth, and he took upon himself the form of man, and he took upon himself the punishment for our sin. He was debased. You must be willing to be displaced, so that man hath not where to lay his head. You'll find it more and more becoming apparent in these last closing days of time that we have very, very few places that we'll feel at home. And the song of Jim Reeves will become more and more real. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? I find it increasingly difficult to live in this world and to enjoy lots of the things that go on in it. And then he must be willing to be despised. You'll not get the star treatment. You'll not be treated like Superman. He hath no form or comeliness that we should desire him. And no servant is above his master. It'll take a humble heart to accept that kind of treatment. And humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Acceptability. Are you willing to accept? Have I got that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude, that is willing to accept what the world will throw at me for the sake of the gospel? Because I am a follower of Jesus. So the first element, or essential, of discipleship is acceptability. Then we looked last week at the second element. And that is availability. That second man, he wasn't just available. He said, Lord, yes, I'll do it, but wait a wee minute. My will comes before your will. I have something that I want to do. I have places that I want to go. I have people that I want to see. I have things that I want to taste. I have experiences that I want to know. So, Lord, I've got my own will. You put yours on hold. Mine's more important. You just wait. And maybe eventually, I'll do your will. Remember how we applied that last Lord's Day? The will of the Lord ought to be a priority. It requires that it be a priority in my life. It also requires availability. We talked a little bit about that this morning. Am I available if the Lord would call to do whatever God asked me to do, to go to that neighbor just around the road, to help that old drunk that has been held in slavery of sin and addiction? Am I willing to go to that individual who wouldn't look the side of the road I'm on? Am I available? The will of the Lord requires priority. The will of the Lord requires availability. The will of the Lord requires urgency because it's to bring the gospel to the lost. Millions today have left this scene of time and gone out into darkness. And I wonder how many of them have been without Christ. How many could I have reached? How many could you have reached? It's urgent. And it requires reliability. Can I be depended upon? Can you? The second essential is availability. Are you available? Not to do your will, but to do His will. Well, the third essential, and we'll come to it this evening, is accessibility. Accessibility. You see, does Jesus really have access into every area of my life? You know, that for me is very challenging. This is the most challenging of the essentials of discipleship for me personally. It means that He wants to possess all my passions. He wants to take up residence in all my desires. He wants to be in the very center of everything that I am. And that's what I take from this third essential. You see, the thing that catches my eye, and I've got a long introduction to this and a very short application, so you'll be glad to hear that. The thing that catches my eye is the statement, putting your hand to the plough. Now that really set me thinking, and I'll tell you why it set me thinking. Usually when we think of this statement, putting your hand to the plough, we think in terms of full-time service, don't we? But can that really be what is being said here? You think about that for a wee minute. What if putting your hand to the plough means becoming a Christian? What if it means ploughing a furrow for God in your life and also for God in society? What if it includes everyone that names the name of Christ? You see, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is not unusual for the Lord to use a farming kind of an analogy in seeking and living for God and being a Christian. Sure it's not. Jesus talked about the four soils. Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares. You see, the Bible speaks about running a race. It speaks about farming. It speaks about soldiers. Jesus himself spoke about the human heart as a field. Now why do I make that distinction? Well, think of how fair it would be that those who put their hand to the plow and somehow get discouraged or distracted or disheartened, and they say, leave off and they turn back. And then think about those that never bothered putting their hand to the plow. Then they never lose out. They never miss out. They never are questioned. They have been what we call armchair Christians who've never bothered getting involved, and they've never then left off, and they've never taken their hand off the plow. There's no chastisement, or there's no disqualification for them. I know what's going through your minds at the minute, but we'll clear it all up for you in a moment. Putting your hand to the plow means seeking to live a holy, godly, righteous life amongst all of those who are running after the favours and the flavours and the fancies of this life. And putting your hand to the plough means I'm not going to agree with its practices. I'm not going to agree with its principles, because it is my godly life that ploughs up a furrow through humanity. And as I live my godly life, I'm saying no to all the obstacles of ignorance and indifference and stubbornness and rebellion. And I'm ploughing a way through the awful barren land of humanity that's wasted. And notice, this is not about losing your salvation. This is about not being fit to represent the kingdom. And that's different. Putting your hand to the plow is a laborious thing, isn't it? I can remember my father, and you didn't think that I was as old. I know I'm very youthful looking. I can remember my father plowing with two horses, an old chestnut and a piebald. He always put the chestnut on the inside of the furrow. He was easier to control. Well, I'm not sure if it was a male or a female, but you'll understand I'm just telling the story. I never asked the horse whether it was a male or a female. I hadn't even the intelligence or the know-how or the what wherewith to ask him that. But you always put the chestnut on the inside, and he kept a steady line. And the other old piebald, he was all over the place, but the chestnut kept them going straight. But it didn't matter how calm or how well-behaved the horses were. Whenever I'd look at my father, the sweat would be rolling from him. Ploughing is a laborious thing. It requires energy. It requires effort. And it requires enterprise. And if I'm going to live a godly, righteous life to the glory of God in this land, it's going to require energy on my part, isn't it? It's going to require enterprise. It's going to require exertion. As I seek to live in, because this world is no friend to grace. And in my own heart, my flesh is always fighting against the spirit life. And my old habitual life, that old flesh that I inherited from my fallen father and forefathers, always wants to mitigate and wants to be in conflict with the spirit. And that's why Paul says, put to death the flesh. And every morning you waken up, you decide, I am not going to live today according to my whims. I'm not going to live today according to my desires. I want to exalt him. I'm putting my hand to the plow today to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what it means. Now, I'd never seen that until I began to think of these messages. How else do you think that the kingdom of God can come here on earth? And it's all very well to pray that model prayer, not the Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayer is in John chapter 17. But the model prayer is the response of Jesus whenever they asked, when the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, go and follow the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's not one mention of me in that phrase. kingdom come. Still no mention of me. Thy will be done. Still no mention of me. On earth as it is in heaven. There's still no mention of me. And you go right throughout that prayer until we get, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And there is still no mention of me. I said this morning, private prayers belong at home in the closet. Public prayer is completely different. Thy kingdom come. And somehow we think that this kingdom coming is something that's going to be set down out of the sky, and we see builders moving in and they've got wings on them and they're building fanciful palaces and all kinds of luxurious kind of angelic buildings. You and I have a part in building the kingdom of God, allowing his kingdom to be built up in my life and me living a righteous, godly life as I put my hand to the plow and seek to live for him. There's a biblical principle. There's quite a few biblical principles. But there's a biblical principle of interpretation when it comes to these kinds of arguments and teachings. Jesus very often argued from the lesser to the greater. Has anybody ever heard that before? One or two. What he meant was he always took the less important subject and he argued it up to the most important subject. For example, Charlie, not one hair of your head has fallen to the ground, but your heavenly Father knows about it. Isn't that good? Every hair you lost, and then he says, not one sparrow falls to the ground, but the heavenly Father knows it. And then he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That's the argument from the lesser to the greater. And so when we get to this passage, if your family and going to care for the things and the relationships at home is important, then I want you to think about the love that I require and desire from you. From the lesser to the greater. If I care about a sparrow, then think how much I care for a soul. And if you care for your family, then how much should you care of your love for me? If you are truly going to be his follower and meet the conditions of discipleship, then Jesus must take precedence over all your relationships. He must have access into all areas in your life and mine. Now, Lord, can I not just keep this one wee part for me? No, he says he wants access into everything. And that's why I say to you, this for me is the most challenging of all these essentials. Jesus spelled it out. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and idols. And we see it lived out in the life of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I don't know about you, but for me that's not simple. And I could have spelled out a whole number of passions and desires, relationships, places in my life that I want to retain for myself because I have grown, as I've grown older, to hold them dear, to love them. And they accompany me everywhere I go. I've got used to them. I can't think of living without some little compartment in my heart that I keep for me. Has he all areas? Isn't there a sign somewhere at some stage where it says access all areas? I want to point out three, and this is the application now. So the long bit's over. My son, I'm not saying which one, wouldn't be fair. But my son, whenever we used to go to church, he used to say, Daddy, when will the long bit be over? The long bit's over. Never come to the application. For God to have access all areas, you must allow him to deal with your past. Did you notice this man said, now think about it, you have to think about these passages. You can't just gloss over them. This man said to Jesus, remember Jesus is the omniscient Savior who sees the heart and he answers not by the question that's asked, but he answers because of what he sees in the heart. You with me now? Lord, let me go back to my family that I may say goodbye. What was Jesus' response to him? No man looking back. This man was looking back. There were things in his past that he hadn't dealt with. Relationships that he hadn't sorted out. There were incidents in his life and there was a big no-no. There was unforgiveness perhaps. His past was still living with him in his present. And if we are ever to allow God into those areas in our lives, then we must let him deal with our past. Lord, I've been trying it for years. Well, let the Lord deal with it. And by the way, if someone has a grudge against you and you've gone to them a number of occasions and you've tried to be reconciled to them, that's their bother. You've done your bit. You go on with God. Many Christians have allowed themselves to be hindered in their walk with God because someone somewhere has hurt them and they're holding dearly to that because they have grown up with it and they wouldn't know life unless there was some kind of bitterness and unforgiveness resident in their hearts. Lord, let me go back. I have a father I need to get sorted out with. I have a mother that needs, I have a sister. And boy, she gave me a hard life when I was growing up. Let it go. Are you listening to me? I tell you, there are times when I allow myself to go back over my childhood and my upbringing. I'm not going to go into it here. I'll talk to you privately about it sometime. But there are times whenever we get into conversation, you know what I feel? I feel bitterness rising up in my heart at times. And I feel anger at times. And I feel sometimes, I wish someone had stepped in and sorted out that situation. And then I have to take myself by the scruff of the neck and say, Lord, that's in the past. You deal with it. Need to deal with the past, the hurts of the past, the honors of the past, the horrors of the past, the habits of the past. I started smoking when I was 4 years of age. Not one bit proud of it. I started smoking because my father used to smoke players. You know what players are? You shouldn't. They had no tip on them. Boy, they were nearly as strong as Woodbine. Does anybody remember Woodbine? Oh, Charlie. I tell you, they were potent, weren't they? And his mates used to come home rolling drunk, and then Trevor used to be taken up on his knee, and he'd take a wee drag. And before I was 5 years of age, I was addicted to tobacco. Addicted. I would have stole to feed Mabbit. I mean, if you wanted the buyer client, does anybody know what a buyer is here? It's not somebody that buys clothes, by the way. It's a place where they keep cows. If you wanted the buyer cleaned out, or the duchel emptied, you know what the duchel is? Or the eggs galled, the cattle fathered, or the cows milked, offer Trevor a fag. And he would do it. Do you know I still have nightmares to this day? A smoking preacher. That's right. It's like a nightmare, and it revisits me every now and again. And the nightmare is that you don't know that I secretly smoke. Well, I'm telling you now, publicly and online, I do not smoke anymore. It's very, very difficult at times when the devil doesn't let you off the hook, isn't it? This man wanted to go back to his family and leave the Lord behind. Did you notice that? Sometime when you're thinking about the hurts, the disappointments, the scars, allow the Lord to go with you. And say, Lord, humanly speaking, I cannot deal with that. My memory just won't let me off the hook. You take it. It works. Allow him to deal with the past. Devote yourself to the present. You see, let Jesus possess who you are now. Well, I'm a worrying father. Let him possess it. I'm a wayward teenager. Let him possess it. Let him possess your present. Give him the challenges you're facing. The celebrities you're following. The crises that are on the horizon, you give him them. That's your present. You know, we often talk about honoring God with our lives. And we think about, in terms of honoring God with our lives, that that's just talk. When you honor God with your life, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving you this day. You know what my prayer was this morning in my quiet time? Lord, I give you my life again today. I'm glad to give it to you. Lord, have this Sunday. Possess this heart. Take everything I am today, and whatever it is that you want of me, I am willing to do it. That was my prayer this morning. Lord, I don't want to possess my time, my free time. I don't want to possess my attitudes. Lord, here is my today. It's yours. And I tell you, let him do the worrying, and you do the trusting. And that's not easy to do. Sure, it's not. Because we are control freaks, aren't we? We like to think that we can handle the situation. We like to think that somehow we can influence the outcome of what we're facing today. But we can't. Use me today, Lord. True followers of Jesus hold nothing back. And they retain nothing for their lives, for themselves. They give him their all. And he's saying to you, and is he saying to me, let me have your troubles. Let me have your trials. Let me have the temptations that you're facing. Let me have the traffic that's in your life. I'm a good pilot. Can I say to you in a more practical way? There may be a marriage on the rocks here tonight. Let him into your marriage. Let him into your marriage. There might be trouble at work. Let him into your work. There may be trouble in the family circle. Let him into your family circle. Might be trouble in your ministry. Let him into your ministry. Might be problems in your organization. Let him into your organization. There might be strife in university. Let him into that university. He wants your today. Whatever makes up your life today, he wants it. Now, about to be true to my word, I said the application wasn't going to be as long as the introduction. Here's the thing. Discharge your future. If you're to be a true follower of Jesus, then you need to also allow him into your plans for tomorrow. You see, plans are things that we do today, but they're all about our future, aren't they? They're all about our future. What you do and what you plan today determines your tomorrow. And every plan you make is about your future. So in that sense, you can either give him your future or you can hold on to it. This man made plans about tomorrow. But important as they may have been, he wants our tomorrows. And here's the thing. If you give him your tomorrows, listen to this. I love this. This makes my heart do somersaults. That's right, you want to see my heart now by twisting around here? If you give him your tomorrows, he'll give you all his tomorrows. Isn't that lovely? He'll give you all his tomorrows. Hey, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. And don't say I'll give it to him tomorrow. Or don't say I'll give it to him later. Or don't say I'll give it to him soon. Do it now, just where you are. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my future. I give you my here and now. And the greatest enemy and the greatest opposition that you'll meet in that transaction is the devil himself. Because he knows what God will do with a person who gives him all their tomorrows. Martin Luther gave God his tomorrows. George Mueller gave God his tomorrows. Saul of Tarsus, John Wesley, George Whitefield, John Calvin, Sam Workman, Jim Elliot, and the multitude of the choicest of the saints of God gave him their tomorrows. And we're still talking about them today. You ever go out for a wee walk? You know, physical exercise is not sinful. You know that, don't you? Out in the countryside. You come across, you're enjoying listening to the bird. I went out with the three grandchildren there. We're up for a sleepover. Did anybody see that on Facebook? Haven't got over it yet. And we went out for a wee walk around the country. Say, boy, if you want to go and gather blackberries. I don't know if you remember. That was a childhood memory I have. We used to go and gather blackberries. And then we used to have to sell them to the shop out the road because we didn't want all the jam. We used to fill the bucket half full of water as well. Get a wee bit extra weight and get more money for it. Well, wait. Sorry, don't do that at home. Sorry. But there we were, out walking up around Kilkeel and we're at these wee narrow roads and we saw all these blackberries. And then Abby, she's more brave than I, and we saw this wee caterpillar walking, running across the road, and we decided we were going to save it because there's that many cars. But I wouldn't lift it. A caterpillar, not me. And guess who lifted it? Abby. Amazed, this hairy thing crawling up and down your hand. Ah, she says, the wee pet. She put it in the middle of her hand, and Kayla and Scott were along with me, and we carried it from one side of the road, and we put it into the hedge on the other side of the road, and it was safe. Granda, do you think it'll be all right? Oh, I says it'll be all right. And boy, we enjoyed our wee walk. It would have been an awful disaster if we had come across where it says no through road. No access here. Trespassers prosecuted. It must be an awful disappointment for the Lord when he knows he can bring sunshine and joy and love into our hearts and he finds no through road, no trespassers. Trespassers will be prosecuted. The third essential. Accessibility. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that your word will find a resting place in our hearts. Lord, we just would love you to have a field day just now. Whatever the problem or the difficulty, whatever the hurt, whatever the disappointment, whatever the passion, whatever the desire, Lord, we ask that you will possess in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.